All right, there we go. Praise God. You know, I this is my annual time to get this in. I love it. Matter of fact, I'll hold all year waiting. Can't wait for this. So here you go. Three small boys were in a Christmas play at school. They represented the three wise men. They were to give their gifts to baby Jesus. The first boy stepped forth, held out the gift in his hands and said, "Gold." The second boy stepped forth and held out his hand and said, "Myrrh." The third boy stepped forth, held out his hand and said, "Frank sent this." That's my favorite Christmas joke of all times. Praise God. Now, Bob, I'll tell you this, though. There was research done, and of course, I've used this before, but some of y'all haven't heard this. This is actual research. Amen? According to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, while both male and female reindeer grow antlers in the summer each year, male reindeer drop their antlers at the beginning of winter, usually late November to mid-December. Female reindeer retain their antlers till after they give birth in the spring. Therefore, according to every historical rendition depicting Santa's reindeer, every one of them from Rudolph the Blitzen had to be a girl. We should have known only women while pregnant would be able to drag a fat man in a red velvet suit all around the world in one night and not get lost. Ladies, we give y'all a hand. Amen. Amen. There you go. We're going to talk about today just for a short time. There we go. Oh, I love that. Look at that. Isn't it cool? Watch this. Let's do that one more time. Come on back here. The other way. The other way, buddy. It's going to play hard to get today, isn't it? Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord and pass the ammo. There we go. Come on, the other way. No, we're not. Okay, one more time. Technology is awesome when it works. Technology is also awesome when the person working it knows how to work it. One more time. There we go. Now watch. Can you imagine being a shepherd in the field? Just you and your buds out there watching over your sheep. You don't have internet. You don't have a Walkman. You don't have MP3. There's not 98.9. There's not 98.3. There's nothing but you and the stars. Wow. And as you're looking up, all of a sudden, you see an angel step before you. Wow. Wouldn't that be so awesome? I couldn't hardly even believe the sight. I will say last night I was walking to my mother-in-law's house and I looked up in the trees and I saw trees way up in the air and they looked like I don't know if they were angels, if they were fireflies. I don't know what they were, but these big old trees way up in the air, so big nobody could get to them without a helicopter, had lights in them. Sparkling lights. And I kept looking around and I said, "God, is this a miracle? What is going on? I've never seen trees this tall with lights in them. What is going on?" And as I began to look and as I began to pay attention, I noticed the person in the house that was in front of all this spectacular glory had one of those little bitty lights that shined on the house. And he didn't have it shining all on the house. He had it shining up. So all those little lights were up in the trees up above it. So the miracle was that little bitty light that you can get for $14.95 at Walmart. Isn't that cool? All right. All right, that's all stand up. Let's see here. Where's my Bible at? God is so awesome. All the time, God is awesome. Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you're alive and well on the throne, Father. We thank you, God, that nothing is without you, Lord. You see everything. You know everything. You've got everything under control. We can trust you totally with everything that happens in our life. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to us and through us, Father, and help us, God, to see something special today, something so special that it will remind us all year long of this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Don't sit down yet. Don't sit down yet. We're going to read this together. Now we got it going on, I think. I'm going to tell you what, this gets so fun to work with sometimes. Let's see here. Not hold my mouth right. All right, let's try it this way. Okay. Here we go. Ready? Y'all read this with me. praise God and pass the ammo. Here we go. Ready? Now let's read this together. And Joseph went up also from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. You can be seated. Amen. So I want to talk to you today on five reasons that Christmas brings us joy. While Christmas is full of good news, I'm glad I didn't even realize that that's what you were going to say today, sister, about the angels talking. And as a matter of fact, believe it or not, I changed this Christmas message three times yesterday. I started in one part of it, then went to another part of it, and finally, last night, I went to the third part, and this is it. And the Lord just kept speaking to me and saying, "Tell the people how good a news they got coming." Amen. You know, we live in a world of bad news. Bad news sells so much. Everywhere you look, you see, you know, you hear Fox News say, "We report, you decide." We've got other news channels that says all bad, bad, bad news. Bad news sells. People want to hear it. Amen. If you get somewhere and you walk into a place and the gossip train's running, you can't wait to hear some juicy gossip. Wow. But you start passing out good news and people just kind of let it go on past them. Amen. You know, I know that this year is going to be a good year for us. You know why? Because I was looking up 18, the number 18 in the Hebrew. You know what the number of Hebrew 18 means in Hebrew? It means new life. Did you know that? New life. It doesn't mean new life, but 8 is the number of new beginnings. And so something special is coming in this year. I believe with all my heart something special is going to happen. I believe by next year this time you're going to look out here and not going to have a place to sit. Amen. It's going to be so awesome. But you got to see it here before you can see it here. Amen. You got to see it here before you can see it here. So watch this. The gospel is a good news to the world that needs it. Now the good news, let's just break down the good news just for this story here that we're talking about. Here's the good news. Broken down. Ready? John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And the perfect one for this actual time we're talking now is, watch this, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now this is the first appearance of Jesus as a man, or in human form, the incarnation. This is his first appearance. But not only is it his first appearance, it's the angel's first appearance to somebody as Jesus is born. And of course, the first people he comes to are the shepherds. The shepherds were considered the lowliest people there was. They could not testify in court. They weren't allowed in certain places. They smelt like the sheep. They were just considered the lowest of the low. But the angels came to them. And so as the angels come to them, it's an awesome thing. Because he tells them, watch this. He tells us, let's read this again. In verse 10, he says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." So then we're going to talk about five reasons why Christmas is good news. Amen. Number one, it banishes fear. Amen. You know, as I do counseling, as I talk to people, the other night I told Linda, I said, I'm going to go to the Dollar General. I'll be back in 10 minutes. Tops. It's just around the corner. An hour later, Linda says, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yes." I happened to run into somebody. And she said, "Okay, take your time." 30 minutes later, she said, "Are you sure you're okay?" I said, "I ran into somebody else." I didn't run into people to talk and chat and have a good time. Every time I ran into somebody that was hurting. Not only were they hurting, they had just experienced death in their family. They had just experienced loss. They had just they were fearing loss that was coming their way. No matter what was happening, these people, every last one of them, were dealing with fear. It seems like I see in my own life how Satan would love to bring fear into my own life, into your life. Because you know why? Fear is the most crippling of human emotions. Did you know that? Out of all emotions we've got, fear. Fear. Somebody say fear. Now say fear not. Fear is the most crippling of human emotions. Matter of fact, did you know that fear actually can paralyze you? It can paralyze you from doing what God's called you to do. Fear can totally shut you down. You know, fear actually can bring things on you that you don't have to have. Fear can prevent you from doing things that you should be able to do. Fear can keep you from going over hurdles that you should be able to go over. But instead, fear shuts us down. One of the words for fear in the Greek is apistis. 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 Pistis is the word for faith. So you got faith and an A in front of it, meaning actually the absolute loss of faith. So when you allow fear into your life, it actually can zap you, drain you of your faith. There's things you could be doing for God. There's things you could be doing for yourself, for your children, or for your family, or even at your job. But fear can totally zap you. Now, that's why God, in His Word, I count them. God has, in His Word, 365 times, fear not, or a variation of fear not. Why does He say it 365 times? There's a fear not for every day of the year. Isn't that cool? Every day, God saying, fear not. And so here are these shepherds. They're already lowly. They're already considered nobodies. They're already considered vagabonds. And here they are. They're out in the field. They're out here at night. They're only with their people because that's the only ones that will accept them and their sheep. And here comes this glorious sight. And now God is talking to the lowest of the low. That gives me hope. That when I need God in my darkest night, in my darkest hour, He'll send to me and He'll talk to me. And the same thing to you, because God is no respecter of persons. Amen. So 365 times. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I use it all the time. I talk it in my head all the time. I tell people about it all the time. For God have not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, spiritual timidity. Which means I'm going to back up every time Satan goes boo. I'm going to look around every corner, scared something's going to catch me, scared something's going to get me. He's not giving us a spirit of timidity, but of power. That word power is a form of dunamis, which means through the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to do whatever you need to do. And of love, which is agape, or agapeo, which means I can love the unlovable. Anybody here know an unlovable person? Don't point. Does anybody know one? I've known some unlovable people, but I loved them anyway. And I found out that I won them over with love. When I couldn't win them over anything else, I won them over with love. But the biggest thing I love is, He's given us a spirit of, not a spirit of fear, timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The word sound mind first means clear thinking, but it also means to think under pressure. Whenever I find myself under pressure, this is the first thing I quote. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, the ability to think under pressure. Thank you, God, that He knows when the pressure is coming, and He's already showed us and showed us very strongly that we can make it happen. Amen? Through Him. So watch this. God actually wants us to banish all fear from our life. Now, that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Because I can go along and there are certain things I used to be afraid of and I'm not. Linda was afraid of snakes. She was so afraid of snakes. And one day after church, we went over to the house and did the same thing with Sister Brenda. I've only done it twice in my life, but I did it. They'll tell you, it's a fact. I ain't making it up. This black snake was in the backyard, and the thing was a good old ways away. It was probably about from here to Brother Billy or Brother Steve, somewhere around there. And I took a shovel, and I said, the thing's getting away. And she was so scared of snakes. And I just preached on fear. And I took the shovel. As God is my witness, I have witnesses there. I threw the shovel and cut the snake's head off. That Tarzan blow was in there. That's right. I think it was that Indian blood from that Hawkbill tribe. Amen. You know, they know how to throw spears. And so she walked up and touched the snake, and she said, "Don't be afraid." She said, "I don't have to." She said, "God touched me in the middle of that sermon and said, I don't have to be afraid of snakes anymore." And she touched the snake and even picked it up. Of course, it didn't have a head, so it couldn't have bit her. Did the same thing as Sister Brenda's one day. It's the wildest thing. God, I mean, I ought to go into business. So, you know, if you need snakes, get out of your yard, bring me a shovel. We'll take care of them. Amen. Okay. So now, God, look at somebody and say, "God wants fear out of your life." Fear is an unwelcome tenant in your mind. It's taking up space in your mind that you can't afford to give. It takes more space in your mind with fear than it does with positivity. Amen? So you have to remember, it's important that you keep the negative out of your mind. It takes up to 7 times more space in your brain than does the positive thoughts. I'd rather keep the positives going, wouldn't you? Amen. So now watch this. 1 John 4:8 says 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear." So how can I get beyond my fear? I hold on to God's perfect love. Knowing that God's got me, God's got a hold of me. You know, I remember my kids when they were little, they would just run to me, they would jump off of houses, they would jump out of trees and just holler, "Catch me, Daddy, catch me." And I'm thinking, "Boys, you're gonna get me killed. You're gonna get killed. Why are you doing this?" It's because they trust me so much. And their daddy loved them so much that daddy wouldn't let them down. And so sometimes I think they tried it just to see if I would drop them. Never did, praise God. But I'm telling you, that's the way God wants us to be with him. "Catch me, Daddy. Catch me, Daddy. I'm falling, Daddy. You got to catch me." Amen? So first angel brought that good news. We don't need to fear. Now, watch this. Why do we not need to fear? Because he's brought us great joy. Amen? Notice this now. The Bible didn't say he brought great happiness. It's going to be a good news of great happiness. Okay? Didn't say that. Happiness actually comes from the word happening, which means the things around you, the happenings around you are pleasing in your sight. And when things around you are pleasing in your sight, then you're happy. And when things around you are not pleasing in your sight or satisfying in your sight, then you're not happy. God says, "I'm not bringing you happiness. I'm bringing you joy." Because happiness comes and goes, but joy endures forever. You know, yesterday was the anniversary of the death of my mother. And I remember on a Sunday night, I just got through preaching, and I was sitting by Mama's bed. She had a bed in the living room, a hospital bed, and I was up there with her. She hadn't talked to us in a week. Her back was turned toward the wall. Her eyes, the implants in her eyes had virtually just ruptured. And so she was turned with her back toward everybody, and she'd been like that for several days, but hadn't talked to us in about 5 days. And I was sitting there, I was reading my Bible, and I've been Mama's faith partner. Mama's my faith partner. And even up to this point, I'd whisper in Mama's ear, "It's not your time yet. God's got you. It's not your time yet. God's got you. You hold on. God can still take care of you." She lost her legs up to here. You know, her kidneys were gone. It was just pitiful, pitiful, pitiful. But I was sitting there, and the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "Why do you want your mama around now?" I said, "Because I love her." He said, No. "Why do you want her here now?" And I was carrying a conversation inside my heart with the Lord. And I said, "Well, Lord, I love her and I want her around." He said, honestly, he said it boldly, "Do you want her here for her or for you?" And I said, "I never thought of it that way, Lord. I want her here for me." He said, "Let her go home." And about that time, as I was reached over and had my hand on her, and I was praying, just praying, I don't think I was even making a noise, Mama turned around and looked at me, and for the first time in 5 days started talking. And as she talked, she looked at me. And in an ear, almost an unintelligible voice, she said, "Let me go home." And I said, "Mama, I've been your faith partner for all these years, about 10 years with all this stuff." And I said, "Mama, I've been here through thick and thin with you, and we've done a lot of fighting together, and you've come a long ways. You've bounced back. But the Lord told me He's ready for you to let you go. So, Mama, what do you want to do? You want to go home?" And then she said, "Yes." And I said, "Mama, go." She turned back over, never spoke another word. Sun come up, we left, went back home, and we hadn't been gone hardly any time. And Daddy called, said, "You better get back here now." And by the time we got that back there, Mama had died. And last night when I walked in the house, and I was doing some Christmas stuff. And all of a sudden, it just reminded me of the time I walked in that house. I left out Mama and told me, "Let her go home." When I come back in the house again, her lifeless body was there. And I reached over and I kissed her on the forehead. And the pain was so great. And then all of a sudden, in my eyes, I saw her with two legs. I saw her with healthy kidneys. I saw her with good eyes. I saw her young and running around. And nothing was bothering her anymore. And I saw her with my grandmama and my granddaddy and all those others that had gone before us. And all of a sudden, the pain was replaced with great joy. I got so excited. I mean, I was just so excited. And I said, "God, you've done something spectacular here." And that's when I realized this and this. God says, "I'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peace that passeth all understanding, and joy unspeakable and full of glory." I couldn't understand it. I still can't understand it other than God put that joy in my heart. And for the rest of the time, yeah, there was a lot of sadness going on, but the rest of the time I had nothing but joy. And last night, when the first heaviness started hitting me, because it was the anniversary of my mama's death, when the first heaviness started hitting me, all of a sudden I looked up. And when I looked up, the Lord said, "Remember, she's walking and she's talking and she's running and she's having a good time in the Lord." And again, that joy unspeakable and full of glory rushed my soul. Let me tell you something. We got a God that knows when you've had enough. And He says, let me tell you something. Look. I can imagine this. Can you imagine when Elizabeth, she was 6 months pregnant when Mary come to check on Elizabeth because she had John the Baptist. And as soon as Mary come in the room and John the Baptist sensed the presence of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Bible said that John the Baptist leaped for joy in his mother's womb. Amen. I'm here to tell you something right now. Some of us have some dreams in the womb. Some of us have some ideas in the womb. Some of us have some promises in the womb, and we're waiting for it to come to birth, and we're sad because it's hurting. But you know what? If you can touch the Messiah, praise the Lamb of God, sense His presence, your dream will leap for joy within you. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God is a God of joy. One of the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Joy. Amen. So now, not only is it joy, but I love this. This is so awesome. So I bring you good times, great joy for everyone. Amen. Is it for everybody? God doesn't have, listen, God's got favorites. You know who they are? All of us. You know, I was watching that movie, The Shack, and I kept hearing the person playing God in that movie say, "I'm particularly fond of that person. I'm particularly fond of this person. I'm particularly fond of that. I'm particularly fond." And finally, the guy in the dream said, "I notice you're particularly fond of everyone." Wow. God loves you. It's for everyone. Amen. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Thursday night, we went to the prison, and we were doing, I called two guys out to do counseling with them. And as I called those two guys out, one guy came to me in shackles. He comes to me in shackles. And when he got to me, I told him, said, please, you don't have to keep those things on when they talk to me. I'm not afraid of these guys. And the guy was up for first-degree murder, and he come in with his shackles on. And when he gets up to me, they take the shackles off, and they stick him in the room with me. I'd already talked with him one time before, and when he saw me, his eyes lit up. My eyes lit up. The Holy Spirit, you can feel the Holy Spirit in that room. And I grabbed that man and pulled him to me and hugged him. That guy hugged me back. And he said, "How you doing, Pastor?" I said, "I'm doing great. How you doing?" He said, "I got the joy of the Lord in my heart." And we had us a good time. The guards kept looking in the window to make sure he weren't beating me. But it was the joy of the Lord. God was doing something there. It's for everyone. Even that guy that was being charged with first-degree murder, he still had the joy of the Lord in his heart. So let me tell you something. I love this. It's for everybody. Watch this. Regardless of age, regardless of gender, height, or shortness, education level, the whosoever will, the whosoever wants, God loves us all. Amen? It's for everybody. And this is good news. Nobody is excluded. Amen? I'm almost through. This is such an awesome thing. Amen. But not is it for everyone. You know, I'm not a selfish person. And selfish people actually grind me. They get on my nerves. I'm around a selfish person because it's all about them. You know what I'm talking about? The people say, "Okay, enough of me talking about me. Now you talk about me for a little while." You seen those people? I honestly, it drives me crazy. And so there is a time when God says it's okay to be a little selfish. And that's right here. You see, it's not just for everyone. It's for me. It's for you. Matter of fact, let me tell you something. It's you know, for God so loved the world. Matter of fact, so God so loved me. Y'all say this. Put me in where you ever see the world, say me. And whosoever put me. Ready? Not me, but you. Ready? For God so loved me that he gave his only son that if I believe in him, I would not perish, but I would have eternal life. Y'all say, I almost could hear you. Try it again. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son that if I believe, then I would not perish, but I would have eternal life. When that guy was convicted of first degree murder, come in, I asked him, "Why are you so wound up tonight?" Because he weren't wound up the first time I was with him. He said, "You remember that first night you talked to me?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You talked about Joseph. And he was in prison, and then he wound up staying 2 years longer because he was forgotten. And so he spent 10 to 12 years in prison for something he did not commit. He was accused of rape, and he did not do it. And then he was forgotten." And he said, and he explained his story. And actually, I really believe him. And according to his story and according to the evidence, he was motivated by fear, but he did not do the murder. But he was in the area, so that's how he got to be an accomplice. But still, he said, "You told me. You were talking to me, and all of a sudden you wrote it down. You said, Ephraim and Manasseh." And he said, "You told me to watch out. God's doing something in my life. Hold on." And when Joseph finally, in one day, went from prison to the palace, and his children were named Ephraim and Manasseh, which one means God's caused me to forget all my past pain, and the other one means, and now he's given me double fruit in place of it. He said, "You told me that." And he said, "I thought about that all the way back when they shackled me up and I went back to my prison cell, or to my cell. I thought about that and thought about that." He said, "Then they got these little bitty radios, little bitty Walkmans in there." That's not Walkmans, but MP3 kind of deals. He said, "I turned it on to Tony Evans." And he said, "I kept thinking about you talking about Ephraim and Manasseh." And he says, "God, is that for me? God, can you do that for me? Can you do like you did for Joseph? And can you do that, cause me to forget my past pain and cause me to have double fruit in the future? And if I just look past my past pain, let go of that, and grab a hold of the future." You can't grab a hold of the future if you're holding on to the past. That's the problem with a lot of us. We're so busy holding on to the pain and holding on to the past and holding on to the hurt and won't let go of it. And God's got something here, but we can't get to it because we're too busy holding on over here. Let go of it and let God give you something new and fresh. He said, "I got myself." And he said, "It was time for Tony Evans." He said, "So I got in there and I turned on Tony Evans." And he said, "When I turned on Tony Evans, Tony Evans started talking about Joseph. And he said, Joseph had been done wrong, had been falsely accused. He said, but when God turned it around for him, he named his children Ephraim and Manasseh. And he said, you had just told me that just a little while earlier. Now, I didn't know Tony Evans was talking about that. He said, I know that God's got something for me. And he walked in. The first thing he said, after we talked about God is good, he said, God's got me an Ephraim and Manasseh coming, and I'm not going to believe any different. Amen. Why? Because he knew that God was for him. See, it's not enough to just know that Jesus died. The devils believe. Amen? And tremble. They believe and tremble. It's not enough to know that Jesus died, but you got to know and believe that he died for you. Amen? There was many years I spent knowing Jesus died. I never doubted Jesus died, but I had never experienced being born again until I accepted his death, burial, and resurrection and a new birth in my life. You know, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and him with me. Amen? You know, I seen this a few years ago, and I really loved it. And I wrote down a part of it here, but I'm going to tell a little bit more. You know, this is so cool. See, this is all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. When we're up here doing the praise team, it's not about us. It's about Jesus and leading y'all in worship and praise and worship. When I'm here preaching, I can promise you, it's not about me. It's about God. You know, whatever I do, whenever I help people, whatever I'm doing to talk with somebody, I always remember, it's not about me. If I get looking in the mirror instead of looking out the window, I become sad. If I look in the mirror, and don't tell me, well, if y'all look like me, y'all be sad too if you look in the mirror. I'm not talking about that. When I get focused on me, that's when the problems happen. But it's when I get focused on others, that's when God starts lifting me up and charging me. Amen? I love this. Look, it's all about him. Now I wrote this down, but I'm going to do something a little different. If we were having a plumbing problem, we'd need a plumber. If we were having a car problem, we need a mechanic. If we were having an electrical problem, we need an electrician. Here's this little thing I found. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator, which he did. He sent us an educator because he educated us. If our greatest need was technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, he'd have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, he would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need is forgiveness. So God sent Jesus. Wow. Isn't that awesome? That's why God sent Jesus. Because he is who we needed. You know, one of the sermons that I was working on, and I'm still working on it, and maybe you won't hear it till next year. You may hear it at Easter. Matter of fact, it might be an Easter sermon. But I'd heard a few times back and forth, and then as I was reading it, it really started hitting me hard. Without the incarnation and the birth of Christ, there could not have been a Calvary. Without Calvary, then there would not have been a doorway to heaven. On Calvary, Jesus, the Creator, was helpless in the hands of his creation with his back on the cross, the wood, on the manger. In the manger, he was helpless as a baby in the hands of his creation. Wow. With his back on the wood then. We see these stables, and they're nice. These stables, you see, this is all awesome. But back in that day, most of the time, stables were nothing more than caves. And the caves would be honed out. And the animals would go into the cave and protect them from the elements and protect them from whatever may be coming. After the cross, he was wrapped in grave clothes and put in the tomb. At Calvary, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And placed in that cave in a manger. Wow, you can't separate Calvary from Bethlehem. You can't separate Bethlehem from Calvary. God loves us so much. And isn't that good news? Wow, that's awesome news. Musicians, can you come on up here? Everybody stand. I tried to be a little earlier today because I know we got to get ready for the parade. I want to be able to have some time to do what we got to do to minister to this community through that parade. Don't worry, I'll make up for it next week. I'll preach for 9.5. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. It'll be to all people. That unto you this day is born in the city of Jerusalem a Savior, Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. All of Jesus' life, it sounded like he was having to fight for room. But he says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. There's a lot of room. I became poor so you could become rich in grace. God loves us, and that is such good news. Especially now. It seems like every week now, either on my phone, because I get messages from different news agencies all the time, and I get alerts. It seems like just about every week, there's a school put on lockdown because there's a shooting somewhere close by or a bomb threat. Terrorism is based on fear. The terrorists want to get you so afraid that you won't even step out your own door. We don't have to be afraid. We can have joy. We can have joy. Because God came to earth to bring us new life. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. The very first thing I want to ask, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you have believed that Jesus died, but you never accepted it for yourself, you never embraced it yourself, but nobody's looking around, I'm not even going to call you out. All I'm going to say is I'm talking to you. Would you raise that hand and say, I've never done that. I need him in my life. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord, in a very powerful way. Let them know that you've got this. Lord, bring salvation to them this day. In the name of Jesus, let's let them accept you right now. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life and forgiveness of sin. Thank you. Thank you. If you're here this day and you know God, but you've lost your joy or you've lost your peace or you feel like God isn't even anywhere around, that he's not personal with you, you feel kind of out of it, you're needing God to not just prop you up, but to do something new in your life to bring that joy and that peace when nobody else is looking around. Not going to make an example, not going to make anything out of it. I just want you to do this for me. If I'm talking to you, you need a new boost. You need God to do something special with peace, joy, comfort, his presence. Would you just put up that hand quickly and say, I need his peace. I need his joy. Touch him, Lord. Minister mighty to him in the name of Jesus. Lord, there's so much out here that's fighting against us. There's so much fighting. Satan is doing his very best to bring us down. But we know, God, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. We know, God, there's peace that passeth all understanding. We know, God, that we don't have to fear because you are with us. And I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. The altars are open. If you want to pray about anything, the altars are here. If you need God to do something special for you, the altars are open. Come and pray. Ask God to bless, to anoint your family, you, the parade today, whatever it is. Ask God to bless. God has built a new team here, a strong team. And we got to hold on and believe that and trust him. We got to see it with our hearts before we can see it with our eyes. A strong team, one that will not back down, one that will not run away, but one that will stand strong in the face of adversity and see God do a new work in our midst. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that. No fear. No fear. When everybody together, just raise your hands. Repeat after me. Lord, I have nothing to give you that you don't already possess except my heart and my life. And I give it freely to you right now. As this year ends, Lord, help me to take my focus and place it in the window and take it out of the mirror. And help me look at the cross. Pick up mine daily and walk with you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for all that you do for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Don't forget, the parade lines up at 2 o'clock. And we got another surprise for you in the parade this year. It's going to be awesome. I'm so excited. I'm not going to tell you because it's a surprise. If I tell you, it's no longer a surprise. I'm just going to tell you, watch the end of the parade. You're going to like it. Watch all the parade, actually, but especially pay attention because something special is going to happen. Amen. And also, if you know somebody in the community that may not know that it's coming today, we always try to keep it now on the third Sunday in December. So they even one of the newspapers even said when they were putting it, we were the last parade of the parade season in Beaufort County. So I mean, it's being recognized, and that's cool. And what's so awesome was when we first thought about it, we were just talking about people taking their lawnmowers and golf carts and riding through the streets of Everett. And when we started to advertise it, instead of getting golf carts and lawnmowers, we got fire trucks and all kinds of stuff. And so it just kept growing bigger and bigger. And so it's a God thing. It's a God thing. Y'all know that? It's a God thing. So look, tell somebody about it. If you're not in it, here's what I do need. If you can, we need some guys to help walk it. Walk it. You got to walk it. You wear your little yellow jacket. Look cute with your little jacket on. We even give you some candy to throw out. We just walk around and make sure the kids stay out of the way and things are going good, but walk the parade. It is a little bit of walk, but you just look at this. Think of the exercise you get for free. Okay? And afterwards, we need all hands on deck over at the Fellowship Hall, because last year that place was packed out because we're actually having free pictures with Santa afterwards. And so the place will be packed out. It was last year, and we got gifts to give to the kids. And so it's really awesome. Amen. The Lord's really blessed it. So everybody ready? You're looking good. Anybody tell you that today? All right. With the exception of a few, and I ain't got to tell you who you are. All right.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you bestow in our life each and every day, Lord. And Lord, that Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. Lord, be with us today as we go forth in this parade. Lord, let it touch hearts and lives. And Lord, be a light to our community. And Father, as always, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and honor for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.